Man, that video is beautiful. It makes me so grateful for our creative team and our video team and how they put these things together to help stir us up before we hear the word of God. Welcome, everybody. So glad you're here at our church. And if you're new, I want to just extend, as Lucas did as well, a special greeting to you. Grateful that you're here. We're beginning our Advent series, as you've heard, and the title of this sermon series that will carry us all the way through Christmas Eve is Light of Light. At Christmas, our world is bathed in light. We see it. We light candles and put them in our windows. We decorate our yards and our trees and fill them with light. This last week, our neighborhood was transformed in Christmas lights. Perhaps yours was too. I love this time of year. The light captivates us during the month of Advent, and it's beautiful because it's a reflection of a greater truth in that Christmas is a season of light because it is the story of Jesus Christ, light of the world, breaking forth into this world's darkness. Then and now. And this Advent series, by the way, Advent means arrival, and we await Jesus' arrival over Christmas as an entry into this world, is based around the theme of light and how it traces the story of Jesus' entry through the Hebrew Scriptures and the prophetic word, which we'll be in today, all the way through the New Testament as it is described. Jesus coming in his birth was a giant star in the east, and also appearing to shepherds through the radiant glory of angels. Point is, Jesus Christ is the light of the world that breaks forth into the darkness that we experience. And he's still the light of the world today, guiding our path and bringing us the light that we need in this current season of darkness. And as we receive him as our light, our hope and our joy grows. The light of this season is the light of Jesus. On Monday night, we drove around as a family, and kids were in the back seat. And I've found in this season of my life that some of the best wisdom comes from the back seat when we're driving around with our kids. And we were taking in all of the lights in our neighborhood and the neighborhood of a family member when our daughter, who's 8, said from the back seat, "Let's put lights up in our yard so that God will see them and know that we believe in Jesus." And it just warmed my heart, because her childlike faith just connected those with Christmas lights in their yards with those who believe. And I've got work to do today. We all do as a fam. The light of the season reminds us that Jesus is God, that he is true light of true light, shining in the darkness then and into the darkness today, and for all of eternity to transform our lives and change the world. So here's our message today. In the midst of our darkness, whatever it might be, we can be filled with hope because the light of Christ is breaking forth like the dawn. I love to get up early in the mornings. To me, the earlier the better. And I often am awake before the sun is up. It's dark outside. And I find I'm in a chair oftentimes facing windows that overlook our backyard. And when it's dark, I'm kind of uneasy. There's just something about your yard and the surroundings around you being dark that just makes me feel uneasy. I can't see what's out there. But every day as I sit and read the scriptures and journal and pray, the light in the east through the windows that I'm looking out begins to break forth and it swells. And this isn't just flipping on a Philips 53 watt. This is the light that God made. And interestingly, it arrives kind of uniquely every single day. Some days it's cloudy, like this morning. Other days, there's not a cloud in the sky. Sometimes there's just enough clouds to give what our kids call the cotton candy sky in the morning. And the light swells, and it's a reminder as it continues to break forth, eventually breaking over the horizon and piercing through the darkness, of God's faithfulness, of the gift of a brand new day, of the gift of life, and the gift of his promises, which are there every day for us. In Jesus Christ, we have all that we need, all the mercy, all the wisdom, all the perseverance within us through the Holy Spirit, and that's a reminder. In the midst of our darkness, we can be filled with hope because the light of Jesus Christ is breaking forth like the dawn. Today, we're going to take a deeper dive in a passage in Isaiah. It's chapter 9, and if you have a Bible nearby, I want to just invite you to open it up to that chapter. We're going to be there throughout the morning together, and if you're with us online, go grab one and open it up. It'll be on the screens in just a few moments, too. It's a prophecy of the Messiah coming, and we read it at Christmas to illustrate and stir our waiting of Christ's advent, his arrival. But as we lean in today, we're going to see that there's more in this prophetic text to help us to understand the purpose of Jesus' coming and his entry and the light that he brought with him and shone into this dark world. Just some quick context before we read. The prophet Isaiah just got done warning the Israelites about some doom that was on the way in chapter 8. Chapter 8 is kind of a heavy chapter because they're going to be oppressed. But God uses Isaiah to tell his people about his redemption plan, his great reset. And chapter 9 still serves as that for us today. Read along with me on the screen. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will complete this. Beautiful chapter, beautiful verses within the scripture that prophesy Jesus' entry into this world. And we're seeing kind of three themes come forth as it relates to the metaphor of light. That is, there's a promise of light, there's a contrast of light and darkness that's important for us to dive into today. And then thirdly, there's character of the light that we all need to be reminded of right now as we face what we will. We'll start with the promise of light. Have you recently walked around in an environment where there was no light at all? Or maybe like your eyes adjusted to brightness and then you walked back into what was mostly dark before? It's like this sometimes when I'll wake up and, you know, in the middle of the night visit the restroom and I'll try to find my way back to bed to go back to slumber. You might have this experience. The light in the bathroom just blinds you. Your eyes adjust to it and then you go out to grasp and stumble and fumble your way around your room. What I do is I kind of try to find my way and orient myself to the foot of the bed and hope against hope that I don't hit the laundry basket that might still be out there, or that shopping bag with a handle that's for surely going to hook my foot. I don't want a yard sale in the bedroom, and I certainly don't want to wake up my wife. That's like my greatest fear around falling right in the middle of it, although it would be a really good story that I could tell. Maybe you've had that experience too. When life is dark, it's a similar experience. We kind of stumble and we fumble around trying to orient ourselves to where we truly are. We need light. Now, the darkness that the scriptures refer to in Isaiah was a very significant darkness. In chapter 8, it's described as gloom and anguish. And the entire nation of Israel and Judea, they had gone their own way and they had rejected God's way. And as a result, they would be oppressed by the Assyrian Empire, who would invade that area from the north and become the oppressors of Israel. God's people were desperate, but they still had not yet turned back to him in his light. They were stumbling in darkness, seeking outside truth of God and his best for them. They were falling prey to conspiracies and seeking mediums and wizards and cursing God. And in chapter 8, it says, many among them will stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. It was a dark spiritual battle and souls were at stake. So that's why when Isaiah 9's message comes through, it's so meaningful. Because the context for the entry of the light of the world is darkness. To burst forth with light and to bring goodness in the world so that we can take hope. God's people were living in darkness then, and we live in darkness now. I don't need to be the one to remind us, but let's just say it out loud. 2020 has been a dark year. It's been hard for all of us. You've got a unique hardship that you've walked through over this year. So do I. We all do. It's been a dark year. I mean, even the Christmas tree at the Rockefeller Center has been hit by 2020. Did you see this? Some people are trying to explain it away as the boughs will eventually come down. I was there 5 years ago and I saw it come off the truck. It did not look like that tree that's on the picture right there. It's just kind of a funny parallel to the theme of 2020. It kind of looks like that tree. And humor aside, we're all navigating darkness. So I just want to ask you to personally reflect, what is the darkness that you have navigated in your life this year? Maybe in the last week. How have you felt it and maybe fumbled your way around? And as a result, what are you doing with that? Are you looking for the light? Are you looking for the truth? Are you looking for your way in the midst of it? Because God wants to provide it for you. We don't need to get sucked into a negative culture around us that promises us things that will fail us. We need to look for the light of life, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior of the world, and Savior of our souls. Because the light is breaking forth and we can take hope. Let's read verses 2 and 3 again. The people, we can put ourselves into us, the people, us, walking in darkness, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Hear and receive God's promise here. Light breaks forth. We hold on to hope and it explodes in a sense of joy. Do you have joy right now? That feeling of just unshakable trust that no matter how hard or how good life is around you, you just know that for eternity, you have life available to you in Jesus Christ. Joy that's not affected by circumstances, because that's what this light brings. We hear it. Rejoice like warriors who've already won their battle. Rejoice like those who've had a successful harvest. Jesus has already conquered the battle. He's already won, so our joy is available. Here's the truth. Jesus' light shines so that the nation, God's people, is enlarged and keeps growing and more people come to faith. Jesus' lights shine so that our joy will be increased this Advent season in the midst of all we're walking through. Jesus' light shines so we can rejoice profoundly in the midst of struggle, because the light shines in the darkness and darkness has not overcome it. John 1:5. Nothing will overcome this light. And the result of us looking to Jesus to hold on to joy no matter what the circumstances that we face is hope and light and beauty, just like the sun rises in the east and fills this world with all kinds of beauty, light, and colors. And oh, how we need this light right now. Oh, how we need this truth right now. It's a promise. It's coming to you today, right now, in fact, as you read the word. Now, secondly, there's a contrast of the light against darkness. I don't know about you, but I find myself when I'm in the midst of dark, like the actual experience of being in physical darkness, that it's easy to be taken by fear. But the light that is coming is persistent and filled with courage and hope. There's a big difference. Let me illustrate this for you. When I was a kid, I grew up in a neighborhood that had a ton of kids all over. I mean, kids everywhere. And my best friend lived 7 doors from me. And pretty much every day, either I would travel to and from his house or vice versa, he'd come to mine and back to his. And I found, interestingly, as I was reflecting on this the last couple of weeks, when I was a kid and I went to his house or came back from his house in the dark, I would run as fast as I could every single time. As fast as I could. I kind of want to ask some of the other neighbors, like, what did you do when you saw me like sprinting as hard as I could down that street just to get home? Why did I do that? Because I was afraid. Afraid of what? I don't know. It was dark. But when I would walk over there in the light, it would be a different kind of a stroll. And the only reason I would run is if I was late to the football game that had broken out in his yard. Light brings courage. Light brings strength. Light brings persistence. And darkness oppresses us with fear. There's a difference. And the significance of the contrast is moving from oppression to freedom. And that's what Isaiah was speaking on behalf of God to his people then. And that's what God is speaking to us now. Light brings freedom. Listen to this verse, 4 and 5. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. Verses 4 and 5, we tend to skip over when we read this at this time of year because it's a little unique. You gotta wonder, like, what is that about? What Isaiah is doing in these two verses is two things. First, he's reminding Israel of how faithful God is, even when all seems lost. And the way that God is using this text today is to give us an opportunity to be reminded right now, today in your life, that even when all seems lost, God is faithful and he's going to give you a breakthrough. And he's reminding them through a story that would have been familiar to them in recent past. It was the defeat of the Midians, which was a formidable foe. Long story short, they were a force that was exponentially larger than Israel in that day. And God told Gideon, who was the leader of the Israelite army, to go and surround the Midianites, thousands of warriors, around in this valley that they were in. So they made a big circle, and God's instructions to them was, at the same time, blow trumpets. So they went and they did so as a result of their courage and their trust in God. And what happened when those trumpets blew is God threw the entire Midianite army into complete confusion, and they turned on each other and escaped and fled. That's the word I was searching for. They fled. With the most humble force, when all seemed impossible, God gave them a victory because he is faithful. When all seems lost, he gave them the freedom and conquered the enemy in only a way that God could do, and he shattered their oppression. That's the reminder. There's a stark contrast: darkness, fear and oppression; light, vision and courage. Secondly, Isaiah is also helping them to imagine a future joy in these two verses. The metaphor is powerful. Listen to this again. Every warrior's boot and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Anybody hope for a world without war? Without conflict? Where there's true peace? Where there's true peace in families? Where there's true wholeness in communities, in neighborhoods? That's what God is bringing through Jesus in his light. Those things that were required for war, those boots, those garments rolled in blood, they'll be destined for the fire because they're purposeless in the peace that the Messiah comes to bring. What the enemy intended for evil, God intends for good. And the battle is won through the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And when we receive him as our Savior, we share in that victory. It becomes ours. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So this contrast, darkness and light, listen to Ephesians 5:8. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. Shaking off our old selves, that darkness that used to define us, and receiving light from the Lord, we can have hope and trust that God is moving on our behalf today and tomorrow, this week, and throughout Advent and into 2021. That's the promise. That's the contrast. And thirdly, there's a character of the light. In a prophecy of Messiah to a people who needed it then and to us who need it now, we can rest assured that God loves us so much, he is in control, and through Jesus Christ, he's bringing this light into our world. Verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. All of the expectation of peace, all of the expectation of joy, all of the characteristics, those four that we just read that we're going to come back to, all of the hopes of the world is built on this statement in verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This is all good, profound news that can help us to know how much he wants us to experience his never-ending love. And the government will be on his shoulders. Did you hear that? The government will be on his shoulders. What government? The eternal government of the kingdom of God, where there is that peace and that shalom that we long for, where all that happens is right and good and pure and holy. Though nations rise and fall throughout human history, there will be an unending list of concerns about today and the government, but the eternal government will be on his shoulders that has intended us for good. We experience tastes of it now, but it's promised for us in eternity to experience the wholeness of the way that God created this world. The government will be on his shoulders. And in Jesus Christ, we have all that we need. How will he reign? How will he rule? What, as the government is on his shoulders, we got to wonder, how will he do that? The descriptions are given to us right here in this text. And we hear these words at Advent all the time. And what I want to do is just walk them through one more time. And I want to ask you to prayerfully listen to God around which of these four you feel like you need most. Maybe it's all four. But are there one? Is there one above the rest that you feel like in the unique circumstances of what you're walking in right now that you need? Because he will arrive his advent into your life in this way. First, a wonderful counselor. He will reign as a wonderful counselor. All the direction, the encouragement, the counsel that I need, you need is within us through the Holy Spirit. Romans 11, 33 through 34, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. He'll be a mighty God. For whatever reason, are you feeling weak right now? Could be physically, of course, but how about spiritually, emotionally? Is there weakness that you're encountering? A vulnerability that feels bigger than you. When we don't feel strong, we have all the strength that we need within us through Jesus, who, by the way, whose strength is made perfect in weakness. So exactly where you feel the weakest, the most vulnerable, that is the location that his strength is made perfect in as you trust in him. He's a mighty God, an everlasting Father. He's an eternal Father who invites us to cry Abba. That's an Aramaic word that Jesus used as he referred to his heavenly Father that translated into English is Daddy, that affectionate term that kids use for their fathers. That is the relationship that the light of the world invites us into having with God, an everlasting Father. Psalm 103, verse 13, the Lord is like a father to his children. He's tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And a Prince of Peace. John 16, 33, Jesus says this before he goes to the cross, to them that day and to us this day, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. Because in this world, you will face troubles of many kinds. How true is that word today? But then he says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. He's our Prince of Peace, giving us the wholeness that we long for in our lives, not somewhere else, but in the midst of our lives, and whom the greatness of his government will never end, justice and his righteousness from that time on into forever. This is Christmas. This is Advent. This is what we have to look forward to. This is why we put lights in our trees. This is why we celebrate, because this light is breaking forth like the dawn. And if you're void of hope, you and I can hold on to hope forever and ever. Amen. Hope is a stubborn conviction that tomorrow will be better than today. And a stubborn conviction that eternity will be better than anything that we've experienced here with Jesus. Eternity with Jesus. And we can hold on to that right now. We can have hope, but it's not just about having hope. It's not just about having hope. We can give hope away. We can shine light. Jesus comes as the light of the world to you and to me, so that we can receive that light, that we can absorb it, but not just have it intended for us alone, that we can shine it into this world. In John 8, 12, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And he shines his light as Son of God in the radiant brilliance of the sun's light. Jesus is the light of the world, and so are you, interestingly enough. Listen to Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, where Jesus says, You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus shines his light so we can receive it, but that we can also shine it out into the world around us. And what's interesting is when we're shining the light of Christ, we're not actually shining of ourselves. We don't produce that light. All that we are is a reflection of the light that is within us. Let me give you an illustration. Sometimes, on a rare occasion, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll look outside our windows and I'll wonder if I left an outside light on. And the reason why I quickly realize is, oh, it's a full moon. Kind of like last night. And what happens when the moon is full, especially when it's closer to the earth as it orbits, it lights everything up like it's almost the middle of the day. You can see your trees around you. You can see the neighbor's house. You can see your mailbox. It's amazing how that works. But what's interesting about the moon, and yesterday as I drove east on Highway 7 in this community, I saw it come up right over that road. What's interesting about the moon is it doesn't produce light of itself. It only reflects the sun's light. So as the sun, S-U-N, shines, so the moon reflects. So as the sun, S-O-N, shines, so you reflect. His goodness, his mercy, his peace, his strength, his character, his hope into this world as a vessel in ways that will blow your mind, that God would give you more capability to shine in ways that you thought you might never have been able to. I believe right now, this Advent, 2020, God wants us to shine. Do you agree? This world is dark enough. And we need to be the people who are following Jesus, Son of God, Light of the World, Savior of our souls, to reflect his goodness and his light into this dark world. We need it now more than ever. And so I would hope, I would want for us, for me, for you, to stand up and receive that calling to be light right now. I don't know what God's call for you to be light and reflect Jesus' light into this world will be. It could be perhaps that you have a neighbor who you know doesn't know Christ. And they have a unique need right now in the midst of the season of their life. Shining light this week might just simply be walking across the street, maybe delivering a meal, maybe doing something to serve them, maybe just meeting them and hearing their story. Maybe for some of you, there's tension in relationships in your family. And to be a reflection of the light of the world may mean that you make the first move to create a sense of repair in those relationships. For some of you, if you're parents, it may mean uniquely and intentionally walking your kids through the story of Advent and the arrival of Jesus maybe in a brand new way this year so that that becomes the focal point of this season and really nothing else first. For some of you, it may mean that you're in leadership with a platform of influence. Maybe that's vocational, maybe that's circumstantial, but you know you've got it and you've been hearing from God that he wants you to stand up in a unique way, in a new way, to bring light into the context of the platform of influence that you have. Now is your moment. Now is your moment to shine the goodness and the love and the light of Jesus Christ into this world and in through this world. Our call is to shine brightly, because the light of the world will not be overcome by darkness. And to live as people of the promised light in the world, we can be the light right now in this moment because the light of Jesus Christ is breaking forth like the dawn, and we can hold on to hope, a persistent hope that's beyond our circumstances. That's the call. That's what Isaiah prophesied, and now that's what we live in as a very present reality that we're reminded of in this season of Advent for us right now. So as we close, I just want to ask two simple questions to all of us. And the first one, perhaps, is personal for some of you, and that is, are you in darkness? Maybe that's a circumstantial darkness. You just felt like all the walls have pressed in on you over the last few months, and right now it's really hard. If that's you, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to ask that God shines his light in the midst of your darkness this week, right now, even in this moment, so that you'll be reminded that you are not void of hope, that you are not void of light, and that your joy might increase. Or are you, secondly, concerned for someone in your life who might be overcome by darkness? Maybe it's someone, a loved one or a neighbor or a friend who does not yet believe in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And maybe you have a unique burden for them right now. And what we want to do in this moment as we receive Jesus Christ, light of the world, is to pray for those people that come to our minds and to ask God to shine brightly in the midst of their lives and their circumstances. These are important moments. These are important moments for the people of God to stand to rise, to shine brightly as Jesus has declared, he is the light of the world and he's reflecting his light in and through us. Would you stand with me and let's pray together. Jesus, in the midst of the darkness that we face, we know that we do not navigate these circumstances void of our light, void of our path being illuminated, because that's what you do and that's who you are. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. That's you, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior of the world, light of this world. And so we pray for anyone whom may be hearing this, who just feels like this has just been a season that's felt so dark and void of hope. God, through the power and the presence of your Spirit, would you just speak to them right now? Remind them that these promises of old that you made are promises of today that we are living in. And give them the courage and the strength and direction for next steps for how to hold on to more of that truth. That you are our light. And Lord, if there be anyone who feels that darkness because maybe they just haven't let you in to experience the fullness of your love, Jesus, I pray that even right now you'd prompt them. And friends, if that's you, this Advent, this arrival, may Jesus arrive to your hearts. And if you're ready to receive him into your heart right now, I just invite you to pray this prayer. Jesus, I believe in you as the light of the world. And as the Savior of my soul. And Jesus, I give you my life. And Father, we pray that you would bring to mind right now those whom we've been given a burden for in our lives. Maybe we just have a concern for someone who's living in the midst of darkness, perhaps void of you, maybe pressed in with every circumstance right now. God, speak to their hearts, give them light, give them joy, give them hope, give them fullness, give them love, and use us, God, in the way that you would desire for us to be a part of how you want to accomplish that. Minister to them with your love and keep them on our minds this week so that we might pray and that we might act. God, give us hope. Help us to hold on to hope and to never let go because your light, Jesus, is breaking forth like the dawn. May that message, that truth reverberate in our souls this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.